We'll be in Matthew chapter 6 tonight, please. In light of the business meeting, I wanted to look at a text here that I hope can help us as we consider making such a significant decision. We have had a number of assistant pastors in the years that I have been here, but they've all been different. And I don't mean different from each other, I mean different from this. The difference is that in the past, there was a lot of confidence put in the pastor, because if he was for him, he'd be the boss, so to speak, of course, and he'd have to work with him. And so that was kind of the main thing. But for years, I've been trying to push this decision down and say, you know, you got to own this, because I don't know that I'd outlive the next assistant pastor here. Well, maybe not physically live, but out minister, out pastor. And you've done a great job with that. And I don't want to get into the business meeting part, but I just want to say that yesterday in the Heartline, I mentioned that there were some concerns. And we'll talk about those in the business meeting. And I just want you to know, any concerns that any of you that have expressed concerns, thank you for being candid. And you just vote as you believe God has led you to vote. And but here's the thing. In the end, what we want is the will of God. Now, I'm going to say that again and ask if you believe that to say amen, okay? In the end, what we want is the will of God, right? Yeah. So look with me at Matthew 6 and look where we see an amazing statement in the middle of this model prayer. Verse 9. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So I ask this question. When Jesus said, "Thy will be done," when Jesus counseled us to pray, "Thy will be done," when Jesus, right after that, prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread," the implication seems, don't you think, to be that you pray for that every day, daily. And so every day there is good cause to pray these principles, if not these exact words. "Thy will be done." So, since Jesus said that, I would ask this question. Why did he say to pray that? Put a different way. Is there any power in the universe that is sufficient to effectively resist God's will? I mean, why would we pray, "God, I want your will to be done in my life today"? Why would we pray, "Your will, thy will be done," if his will is always done? Well, you don't have to go any further than Genesis chapter 3 to recognize that God had a plan and he said, "Don't eat that tree," but they ate it. We don't want to eat the tree tonight. So how do you know God's will? Well, as an individual, that's quite a different situation. But as a church, it's really not. In a church, our polity here is congregational rule. We do not believe that the pastor is a pope. I don't. We don't believe that the pastor, you know, what he says goes. I don't believe that. The influence of the pastor is the influence of the pulpit. It is the influence of the teaching, the modeling of the Word of God. But it comes down to you. And this is why I have tried to push this decision down to you, because I expect at my age that if the next assistant pastor works, I don't mean labors, I mean if it's effective, if you want him, he could be here a lot longer. He might outlast me. That's what I think. Maybe he won't. I don't know. Anyway, so what would it look like if this prayer was answered personally? What would it look like in a life? I don't mean when we're walking through life and we have a decision to make and we make it. I mean, what would it look like if we ask God to do His will, we make a decision, and then we look back on it, and in fact, we did do God's will. What would that look like? That's what we're going to look at tonight. If you'd like to turn, I'm going to be in Psalm 103 to begin. But I'll just quote a couple of verses here. But it's Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. Here's what the scripture says about angels. Because holy and good angels demonstrate doing God's will. Verses 20 and 21 of Psalm 103 says this: Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, they're powerful, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. And notice that the scripture says, do twice. Thy will be done is about doing. It's about being active. It's not merely an attitude. In other words, having the appropriate attitude of wanting God's will is awesome and essential and imperative. And praying, God, I want thy will to be done, is awesome and essential and imperative. But that's not enough. God wants us to do it. The angels did it. What did they do? It says that they did His commandments. It says they hearkened. That is, they listened not just casually, but they listened in order to obey. That's the idea of hearkening. Hearkening unto the voice of His word, His commandments, His word. There's a doing of what God says, in contrast with what might feel good or might seem good or whatever else. It is a desire to make the word of God rule my life. And then the key, really, or the conclusion is when He says that do His pleasure. You see, we want to please someone else other than ourselves, to please the Lord. That needs to be our desire as a church, to please the Lord. Sometimes we can want our own way. And I am encouraging you, vote what you think. But at some point tonight, I anticipate, unless we somehow postpone, and we could do that if the moderator believes that this would be wise. If not, then sometime tonight there's going to be a vote, and sometime tonight ballots will be brought to the pulpit, and I will announce the verdict. That's probably not the right word. I will announce the result, and either it will be a positive or a negative vote. And I just want to encourage you. If you vote yes, and the result is no, you're going to be disappointed. But don't pout. Just say, the will of the Lord be done. Amen. If you vote no, and the result is yes, don't pout. You probably would be disappointed or think that it's a mistake. I don't know what you think. But I want to encourage you to believe in the church. You might say, well, yeah, if you vote in, man, you guys are a bunch of... I don't know what you'd say. Be careful. This is what we do as a church. We come together as a family to say that there's something more important than what I think. I being all of us saying what I think. And we seek to do the will of God. And we try to achieve consensus. It's always awesome when you can have consensus, unanimous. Everybody agrees. That's awesome. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And when it doesn't happen, what do you do? Well, you know what you do? You get mad. No. Not if we go back to thy will be done. Okay? Number two. The angels do a great job, so I wanted to talk about that, just thy will be done. But there's somebody else who, and then we'll get to us, but who, when you think of the Bible and you think of the characters in the Bible and you think of all the men and all the women, the godly ones that are illustrated and pictured and described in the Bible, who would you say really pleased God? Well, it's Jesus, of course, would be the preeminent, premier one. He never sinned. So here's some scriptures about him. Listen to this one. Philippians 2:8 says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did Jesus humble himself? Why did Jesus, God in flesh, why did he, the scripture says, become obedient? Why did Jesus do what he was told? Why did Jesus not just obey, having humbled himself? Why did Jesus not merely obey to the point of death? Why did he obey to the point of public rejection, suffering, and death? That kind of death, the cross, say. Because he did the Father's will all the way to the end of his earthly life. He did the Father's will. He's the perfect human demonstration of thy will be done. Other verses. Think about Jesus' determination to do the will of God. And this can really inspire and help us. His determination. Listen to this verse, John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work. What did he think? What did Jesus Christ think about the objective that was upon his life? That was the Father's will. He said, it's like my meat. My meat. My nutrition. What strengthens me. What helps me. My meat. John 5, verse 30, he said, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. When we vote what we think. We vote our will. We vote what we want. We vote individually. I vote what I want. I vote what I think is right. I vote what I believe God wants. And then we see what all of our brothers and sisters think and how they vote. And we go with the majority. I seek not mine own will. If there's anybody that votes no tonight, you're going to be disappointed. Maybe disappointed is not the right word. But you're not going to get your way, if we put it that way, if the vote's positive. If there's anybody that votes yes tonight, and I know there will be one because I'm going to, but if anybody votes yes tonight and the result is no, it won't be what you want if you voted yes. Here's another verse, John 6:38. Jesus said, I came down from heaven. That's pretty profound. Nobody else can say that. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is what sanctification is about. It's like making us like Jesus Christ. He is the perfect, he is the sinless human being. We will not be like Jesus in his deity. We will never be God. We will never be little gods. We'll never be little Christs. But we will be like Jesus because our self will be eradicated. Our self-allegiance, our self-loyalty, our self-interest one day will be gone. And we will live as we were created, ordained, sustained to live as God originally created the universe for His glory. Why is it not selfish for God to make everything for His glory? It's because He is glorious. And compared to Him, nothing else is. Not even the universe. It's all twisted and scarred. He's perfect. Here's another verse. John 8:29. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Watch this. For I do always those things that please Him. It's all about the will of God. Jesus did it. Jesus was determined to do it. And then the prayer. I wanted to mention the prayer. We all, I think, very familiar with the Garden of Gethsemane. And this whole idea that the very night that he knew exactly what was happening. I mean, he knew where Judas was. He knew where the Sanhedrin was. He knew everything that was happening. He knew it all. And yet, even then, knowing exactly what would happen, I mean, he prayed in John 17, and we can read about, he said, the hour, my hour is come. This is it. But then he went and prayed in the garden. And you're very familiar, but let me read again and think about what he wanted. When he said, when the scripture says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. We need to understand here, this is not a conflict of wills between the Father and the Son. That's not what's going on here. This is not the Father wanting one thing and the Son wanting something else. No. This is the human struggle to voluntarily and verbally surrender and submit by the God-man to God the Father. He's doing the will of the Father. So we can ask this question, how are we doing it following Jesus like this? Are we doing like this? Are we talking like this? Are we praying like this? In recognition that there's a huge battle going on between God's will and my will. There's a huge struggle that goes on that we as individual believers need to perceive and recognize that what God wants and what I naturally want, apart from the Spirit of God and the Word of God, what I want is what I want. And that's why Jesus said to these disciples, handpicked, prayed over, loved, cared for, and taught. He said, pray consistently. We could argue even daily, pray, God, I want your will to be done. Why is it so important to pray that way? Because naturally we don't think that way, pray that way, do that way. By nature, what comes natural is not God-centered, but self-centered. That's who we are. That's who we will be until we see Jesus. That's what sin is. It's self instead of God. It's me instead of him. So, several lessons we can learn about thy will be done from this prayer request. Three of them that I'll give you and will be done. Number one, it's very, very personal. It's very personal. This is an individual between an individual and God. This is what we're looking at to hear. His model prayer was this sense of coming to God as an individual and struggling through this whole idea of personally, privately affirming, even reaffirming my determination to give my life back to him. My life, that could be a good prayer, my life or my day to day, dear God, will be by your grace about you and not me. It's personal. Secondly, it's surrender. It's about surrender. It is this daily and humbling reminder that what I want can get in the way of what God wants. I said to somebody in the last few weeks about this, I forget even who that was. I've talked to so many of you so much, and texting and emailing and phone calls and voicemails and all those wonderful things, which is great. But I said, you know, really my primary goal here, personally, is to stay out of God's way. I don't want to unduly influence in either direction. Although I already told you what I'm going to vote. There is this humbling reminder that what we want can get in the way of what God wants. And what's best for us. And what I want can get in the way of what I would rather want if I knew the way it was all going to play out. But we don't yet. We surrender what we want. There's surrender. What is surrender? We like to watch Westerns here and there and work through things like that. But just these old-timey black and white things are amazing. We've been watching something called The Californians or something like that. Anyway, Jen and I lately, they're 25 minutes long. It's kind of... Anyway, that has nothing to do with it, except for surrender. We watched one recently and, you know, they've got the bad guys and they've got the good guys and they're holed up and they're having a shootout, you know, and this thing. And the marshal decides he's on the inside and he's one of the good guys. And he said, I'm going to try to talk to him. So what does he do? He takes a white handkerchief or whatever it is. It wouldn't be a handkerchief, but some white towel or whatever. And he ties it to the gun and he sticks it out the door. And they said, oh, he wants to talk. And so the bad guys put down their guns and they walked up and they all talked together. But that wasn't surrender. That was just peace treaty. But if you waved the white flag and surrendered, it's giving up control. Surrender says, you win, I lose. Surrender says, you're in charge, I'm not. It's surrender. We surrender what we want. What I want. What I desire. What I wish for. The ambitions of my life. And think about it. What do you want? Health? That's reasonable. What if God wants you to suffer, as we looked at this morning with 1 Peter? What if God wants you to suffer to bring greater glory to yourself? Not to yourself. To bring greater glory to Him. To bring greater satisfaction to you. What if God wanted to bring in your life something that would hurt so bad, but when you got to heaven, you'd be so glad that He did? Is that okay with you? And we surrender health. What else do you want? I want my children to be like this. I want my marriage to be like this. I want this house. I want this car or other material possessions that will all go away one day. Or I want this job like this. Or I want this relationship. Or I want... There's all kinds of things we want. There's nothing wrong with wanting unless they drive us. unless it becomes not merely a desire to work toward. I mean, if you want to plant a garden and you want to grow tomatoes, there's nothing wrong with that. There is no merit in becoming some passive, do nothing, I don't care, God's going to do whatever he wants to do. No. Engage. Be active. Dream. Think. But always, Lord, thy will be done. I want your will. So because I want your will, I'm going to believe that you have led me in my thinking, and so I'm going to do what you, I believe, have led me to do with all of my heart. But when we hear from the Word of God, or we receive the counsel for others, or we see circumstances that would indicate, wow, I don't think this is a good idea. Boom, perceive that as God putting on the brakes, and humbly go back and say, okay, I know there's nothing sinful, no violation of Scripture here, but Lord, should I have a check in my heart, my spirit here. What should I do? That's being humble, where we take our will, our ambitions, our goals, our priorities, our thoughts, and we surrender. But it's not just surrender. Thy will be done is not just personal. And it's not just surrender. There's another step. In other words, we do not surrender to the Lord in order to be surrendered done. It's so important for us to understand that we surrender our will, my will, in order to dedicate myself to His will. We surrender fighting in one army, not to be killed or to be a prisoner of war. We surrender to take off our uniform and put on the other uniform. We surrender to stop pledging allegiance to one nation and then to pledge allegiance to another. We dedicate ourselves. We commit ourselves. We persevere for the glory of God. We put on a different uniform. And the uniform is not a national one. We take up a cross. That's what Jesus carried. I don't mean a cross around the neck. Nothing wrong with that. That's not the idea of taking up a cross. Many people think that's what it means. I just wear a cross and I took up my cross. No. Taking up a cross is dying to self. It's a death instrument. We put on a different uniform. We fight for God's side. We labor for God's glory. Two last thoughts and we're done. Number one. It makes no sense for us as believers to pray, thy will be done, about the culture, or about politics, or about morals, or about abortion, or about LGBTQ+, or about political. It makes no sense at all to pray, God, I want your will to be done in all these other areas, if in so doing we ignore ourselves. Makes no sense to do that. Makes no sense. Because God's starting with us. God is at work in us. We need to recognize that when we pray, thy will be done, we're talking about in us. Why? Well, the companion verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It's acknowledging that there is only one rightful king in my life. And everything that I do that's outside of His will is obeying the imposter king, me. Let's bow and we'll pray, thy will be done. Our Father in heaven, we do ask for your blessing. Thank you for, so many have put so much effort, so much prayer, so much time. And I think in many ways we're probably tired of the process. It's long. It's challenging. We've been hurt. We've been disappointed. We've been saddened. But we pray that your will would be done. Believing that your will has been done in the past, we pray your will would be done. And so bless, we pray, in our church family, even this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen.